Sorry, it's been a lousy week around here, but I've been meaning to do a video on this for a while and I keep forgetting, and I think it's more relevant now than ever. I will just say that I don't even know how many times I've been called a conspiracy theorist as an attack since I've been doing this professionally, but also one of the first things I started to question when I woke up was the official 9/11 narrative. I didn't know what I believed about it at the time. I was just asking questions. And I remember having especially friends and coworkers at the time say, "You're starting to sound a little bit like a conspiracy theorist," as if that somehow that phrase is supposed to automatically invalidate anything you have to say, any questions you have about something, any criticism, anything. It's supposed to just shut you down automatically. Ooh, I don't want to be called a conspiracy theorist. At this point, I've been called a conspiracy theorist so much that it pretty much is it was a badge of honor for a while to be called one. Now it's just kind of like a non-phrase. It's been used so many times. It doesn't even mean anything anymore. That's the sad part. I think it's worn out its ability to shut people down now because no one even cares anymore because it's been used so much. But this phrase, and people don't realize this, has been specifically weaponized by the CIA. And there's a memo about the weaponization of this phrase that dates back to 1967. So if you haven't seen this document, now you're going to learn exactly when this phrase, conspiracy theorist, became weaponized to shut down anyone who would question our dear, dear centralized government and its official narratives pretty much on anything. The dispatch itself is marked April 1, 1967, April Fool's Day, how apropos, and it's from the CIA's Clandestine Services Unit, and it's labeled PSYCH for Psychological Operations. So in other words, disinformation, okay? And the subject line is Countering Criticism of the Warren Report. And they open up by saying that people don't trust the Warren Commission. Considering Alan Dulles and wise man John J. McCloy were on it, I'm not really sure why anyone would. And public polls showed that 46% of America didn't believe that Oswald acted alone. Half the country didn't believe the government. They go on to say that that's particularly concerning, especially to the agency. If you go through this report, you'll see all these tactics they mention employing against anyone who publicly criticizes or questions the official JFK assassination narrative as a conspiracy theorist. The tactics they say to employ include discussing the publicity problem with liaison and friendly elite contacts, especially politicians and editors, meaning that the CIA admits that they have what they call friendly elite contacts in Congress and in the mainstream media, who will help push the official narrative onto the public.
Do you have any people being paid by the CIA who are contributing to a major circulation American journal?
We do have people who submit pieces to other two American journals.
They also say they should point out parts of the conspiracy talk appear to be deliberately generated by communist propagandists. Employ propaganda assets to answer and refute attacks of critics using book reviews and feature articles that are particularly appropriate for that purpose. And it goes on to say, our play should point out, as applicable, that critics are wedded to the theories they've adopted before the evidence was in, they're politically interested, they're financially interested, they have hasty and inaccurate research, and they're infatuated with their own theories, as a way to discredit people like Mark Lane, whose book A Rush to Judgment had come out the year before, and there was a documentary coming out about it this year, and then also in 1967 you had Jim Garrison's court trial in Louisiana going on. So they had a lot to try and combat with this. Then they go on to say, in private or media discussion not directed at any particular writer or in attacking publications which may be yet forthcoming, the following arguments should be useful. So here's your CIA arguments. And the one they have first, with an underline for emphasis, is that there's no significant new evidence. And I'm going to show you why that's important in a minute. Goes on to say, conspiracy on the large scale often suggested would be impossible to conceal in the United States. This is such a failed argument. What there's thousands of people that work for the CIA concealing what they do all the time. I mean, by the point that this had happened, you had World War II, which was one giant concealment of all kinds of things. The Manhattan Project had thousands of people working on it, concealing what they were doing, compartmentalized from each other. You also had radar and ultra code that had been broken. You had all kinds of people working on secret projects during World War II. And some would argue those are or are not conspiracies, but that's not even the point. Large-scale projects where thousands of people keep things secret happen every single day, all the time, throughout history. This is not an argument. It also goes on to point out that critics scoff at the commission because it didn't always answer every question with a flat decision one way or the other, and that that was done on purpose. It says, actually, the makeup of the commission and its staff was an excellent safeguard against overcommitment to any one theory or against illicit transformation of probabilities into certainties. So they were purposefully vague, so they could not be called out for any one particular thing. That was all done on purpose. The way the commission was made up, done on purpose. And when I read that, the first thing I thought of was 9/11 and NIST, the NIST report. These are the tactics they came up with in 1967, and they've used them over and over and over. And just right here where you have these talking points of how there's no significant new evidence and that conspiracy on this large of a scale, as often suggested, would be impossible to conceal. Just on those two points alone, if you go back and start looking around at book reviews and editorials, exactly as the memo suggests, from 1967 after this memo was released, you will find CIA talking points directly in the media. Like this one is a two full pages spread in the Bridgeport Sunday Post. So the Sunday newspaper, this is back when people read the newspapers. A lot of these, by the way, that you'll find are in the Sunday paper, and they're huge full-page spreads. That's done on purpose. And they devote all this room and space to this, and then they employ the talking points directly from the CIA memo. Things like this sentence, where they say that it's a conspiracy of almost universal dimensions. It's so huge. It's the size of the universe. That's how big the conspiracy would have to be. Or the no new evidence line, that one's everywhere. Conjecture, not fact. The critics have assaulted the theory, the single bullet theory, the magic bullet theory, as it has now come to be known. The critics have assaulted the theory, but not with new evidence. There's just no new evidence. Or this full page spread about how amateur sleuths develop theories, but no new evidence. So that's what they did, and that's how they did it. And this is still being done today. They have used this again and again and again. The same tactics, the same elements from the CIA memo 1967 weaponizing the phrase conspiracy theorist after anything major happens where people in mass attempt to question the validity of the government's official story, including the communist propagandists. Although today they just say you're fake news and they call you a Russian propagandist, but it's the same exact tactic that's being employed today. Starting in the 50s, the CIA employed something called Operation Mockingbird, where they recruited leading American journalists into their propaganda network.
We do have people who submit pieces to two American journals.
And it specifically points out that Phil Graham from the Washington Post was running the project, and it included people from the New York Times, Newsweek, and CBS. And what do we see today? You have all the same mainstream outlets pushing the fake news narrative, which the whole point of that is to shut down independent alternative media sources, especially those that are critical of the establishment or that discuss conspiracy theories. And Washington Post was the first one to really promote and push the unfounded claim that all alternative media sites are Russian propagandists, which they got largely called out for because there was nothing really to back that claim up except some website that could have been put up by anyone. So the same tactics are still being employed by the same people. New York Times as well, all about the fake news. New York Times, by the way, recently winning a Pulitzer Prize for their reporting on the Russian hacking of the election. All the same people are doing the same exact things today. Nothing has really changed. I mean, I had someone send me a message on YouTube the other day about something they saw in the mainstream media, and they couldn't remember which outlet it was. They were walking by a TV at work. Or else I would find this clip and show it to you. They said it was crazy because there was a bunch of pundits sitting around talking about Trump's serious strike, and they actually instructed their audience If someone says it was a false flag, meaning the chemical weapons attack that Western intelligence agencies have now blamed on Assad to further their regime change mission in Syria, if someone says it was a false flag attack, you ask them, well, was the response a false flag too? That's the talking point now. As if somehow Trump's Syria strike can backwards verify the US government's official version of events in the chemical attack. That's just not how it works. That'd be like saying Bush's Iraq war, the one he himself said he had a hard time connecting to the war on terror in 9/11, somehow backwards validated the government's official story of what took place on 9/11. Simply doesn't work that way. But that's how they're shutting people down now. The mainstream media gets programmed by the intelligence agency, and then they turn around and they program those same talking points into their viewing audience. There's a reason they call it programming, television programming, and now internet programming, I guess. And you guys have to remember, where did the fake news narrative even begin? It began with Google and Facebook, two of the largest tech companies that exist, used by the most people. That's where it actually started, and then it was propagated by all of our mainstream media outlets. Who knows how many decades it'll be till that CIA memo gets released in a FOIA request, just like this memo was created in 1967 to weaponize the phrase conspiracy theorist against anyone who would question the government's official story. Now that you've seen this memo, when you see these talking points come up, because they still use them every single day, take a guess on who spoon-fed those talking heads those talking points.